Today what we're going to look at is the fear of death. Been doing a lot of thinking lately about the idea of death. Not that I've got some morbid curiosity about it, but in preparation for this Sunday, but also just as a natural course of life. If there's one thing I think right now that we are fighting as a society, and it's not necessarily a bad thing that we're fighting it, but there seems to be this common thread in our lives today, and it's a fear of death. And it's not just older people, it's everybody. Why are we so fascinated and so focused on youth today? It's because it's as far away as we can get, I think. We have an attitude in our society today that does not appreciate old age. Everything is about being or looking younger. There's plastic surgery, there's creams, there's haircuts, there's hairdos. Some of you, and I mean this completely as a compliment, you look younger and healthier today than you did 10 years ago in some of the pictures in some of our directories. We have people in our church that look older when they were younger because everything is about becoming and looking younger. And whether you intend to or not, if you're just following along with the culture, if you're just buying the clothes that are out there now, if you're just getting your haircut done the way it's acceptable today, there are a few people that are still stuck in the 70s. I got an insurance adjuster that is. But for the most part, we're doing what is current. And what happens is you can actually look younger when you're older than you did when you were younger. And it's just a common thread. And I think there's such a focus on health. There is a focus on health today unlike any time, I think, in the history. You know, I was listening to a radio program this week, and the radio host made an interesting point. People will spend hours in the gym every day. How many hours do they spend on character development in the day? How much time do they spend on thinking about how they make decisions? Oh, but what we're really focused on is making sure, not me, but other people, making sure we got good rock-hard abs. Focus on the physical. He said you can go and find self-help books on how to work out different parts of your body, but you can't find anything about making moral decisions or how to improve your character. We're not interested in those things. We're interested in the outward appearance. And a lot of it, I believe, has to do with our worship of youth. And part of the reason why we worship youth is because we don't want to die. We don't want to get old. There was a Super Bowl commercial this past year with a bunch of people breaking out of an old folks' home. And they were going off and acting like hooligans. And it was all about being young. You know, they're not ready to go to the grave just yet. Ironically, I think the song was like, you know, we're going to live tonight like it's our last night or something like that. And I thought, well, that's appropriate. As Amy and I talked about it last night, she said, you know, that at the Bible study fellowship that she goes to, they had discussed this recently, this idea of death. And most of the ladies in her group did not actually fear death itself. Now, you're in a Christian group. Most believers know where they're going and are not afraid. Jesus said, I am going to prepare a place for you. If I go, you know that you will come with me. So most of us, if we were to say, are you afraid of dying? We would say, no, I know where I'm going. So what is the real fear? I think there's some fear that it might not be the way I want to go. When Amy said, well, I'm not really afraid. I said, so if you drown in the pool tomorrow, you're okay with that. She said, well, no, I mean, I don't want to go that way. It's not so much the idea of dying and going to heaven that we're afraid of. It's the dying and losing what we've got. And you can have very little and still not want to lose it. That's what's so amazing to me. You can be living to go see doctors. Living for the odd birthday or family gathering where you can see your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and they really could care less about you. they are moving faster than you can keep an eye on. And they really don't know what to do with you. And yet, just to see them makes it all worth it. Even if they don't want to see you, you want to see them. And the idea of not being there for that next birthday or that next graduation, you want to be there. And so there's that fear of death of, I'm going to miss out on these things. You know, and that's what it really comes down to. I mean, and Amy and I, were, it's the idea of not so much being afraid of it, but being prepared for it. So we have life insurance, we have wills, we know what's going to take care of our kids and what's going to happen to them, but we don't. We don't really know what's going to happen to them. We're going to be, if we were to die, we would be out of the picture. And that's the real fear, I think. It's that future without us. It's that future that I've got no control over. And they're going to be not necessarily on their own, but I'm not going to be able to be there for them. And I think that's the fear that most of us as believers have. I think if you don't know Jesus, then that opens up a whole nother area of fear of death. In fact, that is what Jesus came to deal with. In Hebrews chapter 2, the statement is made, and now I'm having a hard time finding what I'm looking for. There it is. In verse 14, Jesus has taken on flesh. He has become a human. And it says, since then the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, so that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is, the devil. And then in verse 15, here's the statement. And might free those who, through fear of death, were subject to slavery all their lives. The Bible begins and ends with this focus and this idea of death versus life. In the very beginning, in Genesis chapter 1, God created the heavens and the earth. In chapter 2, we're told about how he fashioned for himself a garden where he would meet with man. In the garden, he planted a tree. The tree was the tree of life, and next to it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He told the man, on the day that you eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you will die. And I got to thinking about that. How did Adam have any concept of death? There's no clue in the word. The literal translation of that verse in Genesis chapter 2 is, dying you will die. We have translated it, you will surely die, but literally it is, dying you'll die. Dying, die. It's an emphatic, you're going to die. And here's the strange thing. Adam and Eve, as they came to be known, the man and the woman at that time, they didn't really have a fear of death. The one thing that God desired for them to have was a fear of death prior to sin. He wanted them not to want to be able to die. And so he gave them this instruction. And just think about that instruction. The instruction is not, if you eat it, you'll disobey me. It's not, if you eat it, you'll ruin your lives. It was, if you eat it, you will die. And God was desiring Adam to be afraid of the idea of death, to not desire death, so that he would then stay away from the tree. It was the warning. The warning was, you'll die. And yet Adam and Eve, they took, they ate, they sinned, their eyes were open, they were banished from the garden because God said, I can't let them stick around with the tree of life and live forever. And ever since then, there has been this fear of death. What God would have liked for Adam to have earlier developed. And the big struggle in our lives really about death is the finality of it. The end. Most people, why they are afraid of death is because it's the end. As long as you have breath, you have the opportunity to do something more. That something more might just be to see a grandkid for another day. That something more might be to go on a vacation or a trip. That something more might be to create or to build. But as soon as we're dead, that's it. And that's a common refrain through the scriptures and the Psalms. David says, you know, the dead cannot praise you. It's over for them. Only the living can praise you. Solomon in Song of Solomon says, or not in Song of Solomon, in Ecclesiastes says that the living have it over the dead. The dead are outside of pain and suffering. They don't suffer anymore. So they've got that going for them. But the plus side for the living is that they're still alive and able to do things, and they're able to live, and they're able to worship God. And I looked and I discerned that it was better to be alive than dead. Most of us don't have to think about this, but Solomon did. He spent time considering, was it really worth being alive? And at the end he said, yeah, it is. And it's amazing to me, it doesn't matter how much we believe in God and trust in Jesus Christ and believe in Him and know where we're going, nobody wants to get there just yet. We are willing to put our bodies through amazing amounts of treatment and medical work because we're just not ready to get there yet. How many of us have looked at a loved one and thought, good night, it would be better for them if they were dead. Look at what they're having to live with. Very rarely do they feel that way. When we're there, we probably won't feel that way either. I've known of a few people, and I know, I mean, people do get to the point where they'd rather just be out of the pain and out of the suffering, and they'd like to go on. But why do we fight to live? We don't want to miss it. We don't want to miss whatever it is, and we can know that heaven is glorious and heaven is better than anything we have here. But let's be realistic. Heaven's eternity. It's not going anywhere. Nobody wants to get there early. We want to continue living. And this is something going on in our lives. But then what happens when Jesus comes on the scene? What does Jesus say? Hebrews chapter 2 tells us that He came to free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. He has come to set man free. And one of the things that Jesus came to set us free from was our fear of death. And in fact, He says, you've got to desire to die to follow Me. He phrased it in, if any man is unwilling to take up his cross and to follow Me, he is unworthy of Me. He phrased it in, if you do not hate your mother and your father and your brother and sister, and yes, even your own self, in comparison for your love for Me, you are not worthy of Me. Jesus said, anyone who will try to save their life will lose it, but anyone who loses their life for My sake will find it. One of the strange things about following Jesus is that it requires us to die. What do? When we baptize a person, we show the image of them being buried. Paul said that the old is gone, the new is here. The old self is dead. One of the things that we do, and it's kind of crazy, is as we believe in Jesus Christ, we die. Who we are, the old one, the sinful one, dies, and a new person, a new creation is born within us. Now, we're the same one. You know, it's not like the lady that was reading Scripture and decided she needed to get rid of her husband because it said, throw off the old man. We stay the same. But we are a new creation. And then Jesus goes on to say, don't fear the ones who can kill you and after that can do nothing else. Rather, fear the one who can not only kill you, but after killing you can consign you to destruction. Fear Him. And so, we're in this strange position where if you don't believe in Jesus, one of the things that is in the way of believing in Him is the fact that you have to die. Not physically, but we have to die to ourselves and to who we are without Him and become the new creation that He would have us to be. As His followers, He calls us not to be afraid of death because He has so much more prepared for us. That we are to follow Him even in the face of death. That we shouldn't fear it. And it strikes me as interesting. You go back to the very beginning, there was this desire of fear of death. But now that we have death, now that we are consigned to death, now that we are all suffering the punishments of sin, which is death, Jesus says, don't fear it anymore. I've got victory over it. It still exists, it's still there, but I've overcome death. And so I don't want you to be afraid of it anymore. It became a slavery mechanism, and He has come to set us free from it. So if He has set us free from it, why are we still worried about it? Not so much the dying, not so much about where we're going. It's all those I have no control over things. I won't be there. I won't see it. But you know, the fear of death, it's not just about our physical bodies or our spiritual selves. We can have a fear of death beyond that in other ways. Those of you that own businesses, are you afraid of your business dying? Are you afraid that someday you might not be there to keep it running and whoever has it, whoever inherits it, whoever buys it, it will disappear? Is it somewhat strange to imagine that all your work, all your labor will just disappear and will no longer exist and you'll just be another has-been? It's kind of funny. I've worked in a couple of retail establishments, neither of which exists anymore. I worked for Mervyn's, they're gone. I worked for Foley's, they've been bought out, and now they're Macy's, so I guess you know, it's kind of a halfway. I worked for an insurance company that no longer exists. I'm a young guy. I can't have this many companies in my history that don't exist anymore. But there can be that fear of, what if this no longer exists? Right now, the Sears is kind of going through this. JCPenney. They're all looking like they're going to go the way of Montgomery Ward. We can have this feeling about church as well, about our fellowship. And it can stop us from doing things. Fear of death is slavery. It binds us. It is not for any reason that I have never bothered to try to find out how to drive a motorcycle. It's fear of death. Not that everybody that rides a motorcycle dies, but I just don't want to figure out if I'm one of them. I've been to a funeral of a young father who had been riding motorcycles his entire life, who worked. That was his job. He worked on motorcycles. I went to his funeral. And I just knew, hey, if this guy who was a verifiable expert can run into a stationary object, I don't need to be messing with that. It's just one of those things about me. You know, I'll tell you the truth. This sounds kind of silly, but I went paintballing. And on a paintball field, I got a healthy fear of death. You know why? I can't believe how many times I got killed. By people that had no military training. By dumb luck. Those paintball guns aren't even rifled. You know, those paintballs are going all over the place. Somebody could have been aiming at a leaf 3 feet away from me and shot me. And you know what that made me realize? It made me realize that if I was ever in a situation where rounds were really being fired at me, there's a good chance one of them might actually hit me. You know, for kids growing up in a world where the good guys never get shot, where the bad guys can unload magazines of bullets at them and never hit them, and the good guy, every time he pulls the trigger, somebody falls down. It can be an unnerving realization that you can actually get hit. And you can get hit by people that are less skilled than you. You can get hit by people that are not doing it right. And you can die. You know, if it was just us, it would be easy. I mean, you know, driving down the road, it's easy to stay safe. I spend most of my time when I'm driving looking for the people that aren't paying attention so that they don't get me. It's not about us doing it all right. And so it's easy to develop this sense of fear. My dad tells me about how my grandfather, you know, he suffered from Parkinson's and his muscles didn't always control everything the right way. And he had two fears that he was working on at the same time. One was the fear that he would continue living. He was tired. The second was he was afraid of falling. He couldn't quite make up his mind what he wanted to do. There were times my dad, I don't know if he actually did say this to my grandfather, but he related it to me as if he did, was, you know, when my grandfather was complaining about another day, my dad said, well, let's just go for a jog. Let's just go for a jog around the block. You know, you'll fall, you'll break your hip. It'll work itself out. He was afraid of that too. As much as he didn't like living, he didn't want to fall. Because a fall could mean death. And so we struggle with this in our lives. Even though we know Jesus, it's this idea of, if I were to die today, where are my kids? You know, if my business were to go away, what would happen next? If the job we have, or if our church, I think of it in ways that, you know, a church is a living organism. It is, because it's made up of each of us. There are churches that were great and big in the 60s that no longer exist today. We have been studying the in the book of Revelation, the churches in Asia Minor. None of them exist today. And yet we have, what do we have? We have a concern, a fear that our church won't continue to exist. And here's why the fear that we have and that we struggle with is so unfounded. Because for all of our worry, we can't add a day to our lives. For all of our worry and all of our fear, we can't make ourselves live any longer. And for all of our worry and all of our fear, we can't make the things that we have continue after we're gone. Whether it's, you know, you can't worry about your business. It's out of your hands as soon as you're gone. Whether retired, whether sold off, whether dead, it's out of your hands. Worrying about it, that fear, that maybe fear isn't the right word, maybe it's worry. We have this proprietary attitude about it. And there's a fear of, what if it's not continuing the way it has been, the way we want it to be? And this is why Jesus says that he has set us free from fear, because when we trust in him, he takes care of it all. He is over it. And that's where we say, like Job did, that though he slay me, yet will I worship him. Yet will I praise him. He says that in Job chapter 13, verse 15. Though he slay me, I will hope in him. If the Lord takes me out today, I hope not. Our pool doesn't get any higher than 5 feet. I've got a good chance of keeping my head above it. But if something happens and I'm not around tomorrow, I know who is around tomorrow. And I can trust God with those things that I've left undone. That is what Jesus wants us to believe. That's what he wants us to hold on to, is that the future that we don't know what's going to happen, that future that we're worried about, how's it going to be different, or how's it going to be better, or how's it going to be worse? So often that fear can stop us. And I mean, it's good to have a healthy sense of fear of death. That keeps us from doing crazy things, like trying to pole vault over the Grand Canyon. You know? A healthy sense of fear is good. But there are times when it debilitates us, when it stops us from doing what we need to do, and we can be so afraid of losing it all that we don't act, that we stop living, I've seen it. I don't know of anybody here that does this, but I've known people that can't get out for the life of them. Can't go to church, can't go to family activities, can't do anything. I've yet to find them tell me, I just couldn't make it to my doctor's office today. I've known plenty who have said, well, I can't make it to church. I can't make it to this activity. I can't make it to that activity. It's just too hard. But boy, howdy, they make it to every single doctor's appointment. Never let the doctor's appointments become the primary focus of your life. Just don't. But I've known that them that do, they're so focused on losing it that they're already losing it. They're so focused on making sure they can keep it going that they forget to realize that they've lost it all already, because their life is just going to the doctor. And it can be that way for us. We can get so focused on trying to keep it that while we're trying to keep it, we lose it all. It can be the same thing for us as a church. We have a fear that it might die. I've had those conversations with more than one person. We got to get new people in, or the church won't be here. I said, the church is going to be here for a long time. Don't worry about that. It's not like it's all of a sudden, you know, everybody a year from now is going to just decide to stop showing up. If you do, the church was already dead. But the idea of, oh, we got to start, you know, and we can do that. We can get so focused on trying to get younger and younger and younger, we stop actually worshiping God and focusing on what we're supposed to be doing. You start focusing on secondary things, you never get secondary things. You focus on primary things, and the secondary things just kind of follow along. But we can get so focused on trying to stay alive that we end up dying before we're ever dead. We're really just afraid about losing. And yet that's exactly what Jesus said we had to do. So anybody who tries to keep their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. And so all the things that we value, all the things that we're trying to hold on to, all the things that we want to keep, we basically have to be willing to say, I give it up to you, Lord. All this that I want, it's yours. And then we find out what he gives us in place of it. It might be all these things that we gave him. He might let us keep them. It may be far and greater. We have no knowledge because we're just not there yet. Can't remember which book it was exactly. It was Desiring God. Wild at Heart, John Eldridge. He had another book like Journey of Desire, I think is what it is. And in it, he talks about, I'm pretty sure it's the Journey of Desire book. You might just have to read all of his books to find this, but it's not to me. Let's just put it that way. It's not my idea. He writes about the idea of what we want in life today and the focus on eternity. And he talks about a lady that found a stained glass window that she really wanted to have. But she said, you know what, somebody else can have that stained glass window right now. It wasn't feasible for her to buy it. She didn't have really any place for it. It was just more stuff. She said, somebody else can have it now. I know it'll be waiting for me in eternity. Now, whether or not that actually works out, it's a good way of looking at life. All the things that we're afraid that we're going to miss out on. We have no idea what we're going to miss out on if we keep focusing on the stuff we think we're going to miss out on. The more we try to hold on to the little things that we have, the more we miss out on the great things God has for us. And so that fear of, I might miss out, I'm going to lose. Jesus says, if you lose it, you'll get it. If you lose your life, you'll find it. He has come to set us free from that fear of dying. that fear of losing, that fear of missing out, we may know where we're headed. We're afraid of what we have no control over, or we're afraid of losing that. The question comes down to, will we place our trust in Jesus for those things? Will we trust Him for those things that we're afraid of losing? Will we trust Him that He will take care of them for us? Will we trust Him? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for the gift that You have given us through Your Son. Death is the enemy, and we are right to be afraid of the enemy. And yet Your Son has come to have victory over death, and He has given us victory over death, that when we believe in Him, we have life. And so, Father, I pray that we would live as Your children, not afraid of death, but expecting and looking forward to life. Life with You. Life worshiping You. And experiencing the new things that You bring into our lives as we continue, as we grow older, as we change. Sometimes the death that we're afraid of is just losing a part of us, getting older, losing an aspect that we held on to so dearly. And I pray, Father, that You would teach us to let go. That we would be as Paul is, that he does not look behind, but looking forward, he presses on, stretching out that he might grasp what is ahead. And I pray, Father, that we would not be afraid of losing what has been behind. That we would not be afraid of losing what we have currently. But Lord, that we would press on to follow You, to trust You. Not just with our lives, but the lives of those around us. May we trust You, Father. And believe in You not just with our mouths or just with our lives today, but that we would believe You for our tomorrows as well. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.